Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed.
Okay, answer it and get it over with. There we go. Okay. By the way, thank you, Trey. That was from the parable of the unforgiving servant, and it was the last three verses. And guys, hear me all right? I know that's an impossibility that you don't hear me all right, but okay. Matthew 18, as I said, 32 through 35 is the summation of the wicked servant who had been forgiven and then went out. And what guy owed him a small amount, he did not forgive him. And of course, that didn't take long for to get back to the ruler, what was happening, and things really fell in at that point. Today, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. It's not an option. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, God, for these folks. Thank you, Lord, that you've kept the sun behind the clouds, and it may be humid, but at least it's not extremely hot. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we're able to be in your house. We pray, Lord, you would just bless and guide and direct us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgiveness, it's not an option. Everyone has to forgive everything all the time. Let me repeat that. Everyone has to forgive everything all the time. No exceptions, no excuses. There's no expiration date on the side of your box of forgiveness. And there's nothing that would change the fact that forgiveness needs to be issued. But if we are injured, and I'm talking spiritually now, if we're injured, we look for a way to excuse and withhold forgiveness. Look at Psalm 18, verse 14, please. Psalm 18, verse 14. And those of you that are using your computers, you need to install a page turner on it so it makes it sound like you're turning your pages. Sounds like a good idea. Somebody, an app that does that probably somewhere. Chapter 18, verse 14. The Word of God says, "A man's spirit will endure sickness." Okay, our spirit will endure sickness. No matter how sick we are, if it is not God's time, it's not God's time. But, an interesting word always in the Word of God, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? The King James talks about a wounded spirit, who can bear it. I like that a little bit better. A wounded spirit, who can bear it? And I guess the implication is no one until they seek or get forgiveness from the person that's inflicted the wounded spirit on their lives. This is going to be quick, short, and to the point. So you'll be getting in line pretty early at your favorite eating place. Five common excuses we use for forgiveness. The fancy way of saying that is, this is the rationalization for forgiveness. This is our rationalization, a way that we rationalize how we should or should not issue forgiveness. Five common excuses. Number one, I can't forgive this because it's too big. I can't forgive this because it's just too big. My question is, compared to what? Compared to what? How does it measure up to what God has forgiven you? You can't issue forgiveness even though God has forgiven you. And think of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary for our sins, for our foolishness. If Christ issued that much forgiveness for us, how can we not but excuse and get excuses from our forgiveness? Now, the bigger it is, the more you don't want to carry it. The bigger the sin you carry in your heart, the more you don't want to keep it going. Remember, I've told you in the past, you've heard me talk about, we are thoroughbreds. We're racehorses. Okay? We have a beginning of the race. We have an end of the race. And when the end of your race is over, a little different than a thoroughbred, that you don't drop dead, but that's when it's our time, it's our time. But we have a starting point and an ending point. We are not pack horses. We're not made to carry sin, loads and loads and loads. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our cares on Him, for He cares for us. He doesn't say, bring them when you got a whole ton of them. God says, when you have problems, you want to claim the promise of God's Word that says, casting all your cares on Him, Jesus, for He cares for you. We're thoroughbreds. We're not pack horses. So don't ever forget that. So I can't forgive because it's too big. That's foolishness. Number two, the old good standard second one, time will heal it. Phooey. Go back to Psalm 32, please. Verses 1 and 2 we're going to look at. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Time will heal it. The Word of God says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Basically, what that's saying is, when you look at God and you ask for forgiveness, God then looks at you and says, what sin? He doesn't remember. It's just part of His makeup to forgive and to forget. And why should we do any less than that? Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. What I'd like to do today is challenge you to go home and spend some time this week. Look over chapter 32 a couple times. Read it over, maybe part of your morning devotions. Start out the morning and just concentrate on what God has to say to you there. If I ignore it, it'll go away. Wrong. Nothing goes away whether you think it will. It's not going to happen. Time's not going to heal it. A good example of that is if you have or had a bad cut and it somehow gets infected, even though your body is made to repel that type, there are times where certain things get in there and they are not easily removed. And then when they are removed, usually you have a scar. Probably if I pull up my pant legs, you can see a couple of scars I have from dumb things that have happened to me. Walking into something or doing something or getting hit by something, you get a cut, it heals, but it takes its good old time about clearing up. And it may never clear up. Some of you can say, oh yeah, I got a scar here that I got from, and you can go back to the time when you got that scar and explain to me exactly what happened in great detail. God works that way in our lives. Chapter 32, verses 3 and 4, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the day. That second part of that verse 4 probably translates better. My vitality was changed. So for the day and for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was changed as by the heat of summer. and some of you have in your Bible, a phrase there that says sigla. And basically, we don't really know what that means, but it's a good indicator to say, think about that. Think about that. Our strength is zapped from us when we refuse to seek forgiveness. The hurt's still there, and something or someone will stir it up. When you think that time's going to heal that sin, I can tell you wholeheartedly, even when you do, you probably, if I ask for a show of hands, you could probably tell me there are times when you've committed a sin, you ask God to forgive you, and you know God has forgiven you. What usually happens later on in a situation? It comes back up into your mind. Okay? You kind of remember it again. And as you do, that's Satan not going to let you forget it. Once it's part of it, you've been forgiven by God. Satan doesn't care if you were forgiven by God. Satan has a tendency to bring that back up. So something or someone will stir it up again. Satan will make sure of that. And as I said, if you read Psalm 32, you'll see that. But you'll receive strength in the fact. I find myself, when I'm reminded of something stupid, I'll pray for someone or something else. And the moment you do that, it's amazing how Satan leaves real quick, or one of his minions. They just leave real fast when you start praying for someone or something else. Especially if you're praying for someone else who has a need at that moment. It really does help. So I can't forgive because it's too big. Time will heal it. And then number three, I'll forgive them when they say they are sorry. It's not going to happen that way, most likely. If by the grace of God a miracle does happen, so be it. We need to embrace forgiveness. Whether someone asks for forgiveness or not, someone seeks forgiveness in your life, whether they do it or not, you need to forgive. Number four, I can't forgive if I can't forget. Ain't wrong. That's backwards. You can't forget until you first forgive. You've got to forgive first, and then you will become, so to speak, absent-minded. I've told you the story of the lady in our church in Greensburg. I won't bore you with the details again. But she asked, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Oof, did I get chills when I was just walking by the ladies. I said good evening at church, and that's something that'll be in my mind forever. Unforgiveness is a decision to keep looking at that sin, at that person, at that they didn't ask for forgiveness, and I'm going to. That's unforgiveness, is that decision to keep looking at it. When in reality, forgiveness is the process of getting it out and releasing it, and then beginning the healing process to be allowed in your life. Unforgiveness is to keep looking at it. Forgiveness is the process of getting it out, seeking to release it, and beginning the healing process. And then number five, but if I forgive, they'll just do it again. Forgiveness is not about what others do. It's what we do or do not do. Forgiveness is about what you personally do. Matthew 18, we can look at that a second. Matthew 18, and this is in that same section. This is Peter speaking. And of course, Peter was feeling a little bit brave and proud and like he had accomplished something. And Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will I forgive my brother? Should I forgive him seven times? Peter was feeling brave that day. He figured seven times, that's a good number. After that, don't have to worry about it. We can deal with that when it comes. But he was disappointed when Jesus said to him in verse 22, I say to you, seven times, but 70 times seven, or 77 times, depending upon how you translate that word. So it's not just seven. It's either 77 times or it's 490 times. The whole implication, of course, given there that no matter how often they sin, you will forgive. Forgiveness, again, is about what you do with it, not what they do. Even if they come back and they do it again, that's not your problem. Your problem is to forgive. You need to take care of that and do what needs to be done in your life. Forgiveness, it's not an option. I can't forgive because it's too big. Time will heal it. I'll forgive when they say they're sorry. I can't forgive if I can't forget. But if I forgive them, they'll just do it again. I have some rhetorical questions. That's something I want you to just to think about as we come to the end of the message this morning. Which excuse have you used? Or what excuses have you used? How did that work out? Did you get the peace because you let it go longer, or you said you couldn't forgive, or you acted like it's too big of a thing to do, or you figured over time that it would heal? That doesn't happen. It's not done. And how willing am I to accept Jesus' word that forgiveness is the way and He will help me through that? Question I have for you this morning, as we talked about the excuses we've used and how it's worked out in our lives and probably hasn't, especially if you've not sought forgiveness or you haven't forgiven the person who offended you. Who's at this moment has God brought to you in your mind? Is there someone where you need to go to them and seek their forgiveness? Tell them you're sorry. And they may act like, well, I didn't know. And that's fine. If for some reason you felt like you offended someone, go to them and let them know that. It's not a simple, some little dinky thing that has nothing to do with sin, but a thing that made you separated from a loving God because of what you said or what you did. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'd like you to take a moment here by yourself and ask the Lord, is there something in my life, Lord, that I need to seek forgiveness for or issue forgiveness? And if the Holy Spirit brings that to your mind, I would pray that you'd take care of that during this period of time. If it's someone in the church or if it's someone you know that you need to seek their forgiveness, whether or not they forgive you is not important. The important thing is that you ask them to forgive you. And if they say, well, I'm not going to forgive you, that's fine. That's their problem. That's not your problem anymore. God's asked you to seek forgiveness and ask Him to direct in your life. God has not asked you to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. So know that whether you seek forgiveness or forgive someone else, God wants you to honor Him by what you say and by what you do. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for these folks. Help us to take this in our lives and not allow Satan to get the better grip on us when it comes to forgiveness and not forgiving. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to those we come in contact with, whether good or bad. Help us, Lord, to honor You by seeking forgiveness if we need to. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.